Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. Dr. William Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest and our good friend. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he's currently professor of economics at the School of Business and Management at Temple University, formerly the chair of that entire business organization. And he's also chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. He is one of the smartest guys I know, especially when it comes to the economy, and especially if you overlay the small business sector and all that, because he's been talking to small business owners now for decades about how what they think about what's going on in the economy. He does that every month, and he joins us once a month or so to bring us that report, and we appreciate it very much. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. And Bill, your May report is a little bit better than, I guess, than the April report, but it's still not as good as we'd like for it to be, is it?
No, it isn't. It's certainly not one that supports a booming economy. On the other hand, it confirms, if you compare it to what's going on in the economy, that small business owners really know what's going on out there. If you go all the way back to March of last year, the first quarter last year, the GDP grew nearly 6%, which is really, really a hot economy. But mm-hmm. In March of that year, the Small Business Optimism Index fell 4 points, which is a big decline, and that signaled, of course, a major downshift. And sure enough, in the second quarter last year, we grew 2.5 only, down from almost 6. And then it just got slower from there until we get to the 0.6% in the first quarter this year.
Which was...
So we at least told everybody it was coming.
Exactly. No question about it. Well, you and I certainly talked about it here on the show. But it was a little frightening when the original... projection for growth in the first quarter was adjusted down to 0.6%. That's getting a little close to the line there, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a little worrisome until you looked at the reasons that went down. And of course, we knew housing would be down, so that was no surprise there. But
right.
the real big surprise was government spending, which is 20% of GDP. Was negative, and defense spending was negative, and we thought, wait a second, I don't think the government really is spending less money on any of this stuff.
Right.
So it's part of the accounting, somewhere that money is going to show up, probably in the second quarter.
Hmm.
It's hard to believe that we actually have as much volatility in the U.S. economy as huge as it is, as the numbers show. But you have procedures for measuring, and accountants do their
right.
work. And
well, we understand
things changes.
Small business owners understand timing and how timing can affect reporting. What do you think the second quarter is going to look like?
Well, the second quarter will be back where I think we said it should be all along, and probably was. If you took the government nonsense out of the first quarter, of course, then we were more like 2.5 again, and that's what we're expecting really for the third quarter, even probably a little better than that, because since the first quarter was lower than we expected and it's in the denominator, by any change we get will be a higher percentage number in the second quarter. So we're looking for still around the 2.5%, somewhere between 2 and 2.5% for real growth.
Right.
That'll be fine.
Bill, once again, the economy is kind of a basket case, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, we've got... the growth is slowing down a little bit, but we're still hiring people like crazy.
Yeah.
And are you seeing a lot of slowdown when you look around the marketplace? Are you seeing a lot of slowdown in the economy? I'm not feeling that to a great degree. Are you?
Right. Well, that's why I was pointing out that the decline, the 0.6% number, really came from government spending, which we don't notice.
Right.
In particular, consumers were very strong in the first quarter. Business spending hasn't been very strong, including with our people, but you know, the economy really is moving along nicely. I think basically the scenario is this. We are at full employment. We employ, you know, a near-record percentage of the adult population. Our guys, as we know, and gals, have been trying to hire but can't find people. When you're fully employed, you can't get the people to come on board to make GDP, you know. So we can't hire enough hands to make the GDP grow faster. So when you're growing 2 to 2.5% and you're at the peak of kind of the cycle, you're fully employed, that's not bad.
That's a pretty darn strong economy, and see, that's the reason why I don't think we're going into a recession. When people have jobs, they spend money.
Exactly.
And they not only spend money on what they need, but they're hopeful. And they spend money on what they think. They think it's money on the future, like for automobiles and
right.
For houses. Stand
that's
by, Bill.
More than they make.
Exactly. 20 till. That's what makes this country so great, doesn't it? Stand by. 20 till. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Lessingame. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB. And he's bringing us another report, yet another monthly report on what small business owners are telling him, what the NFIB members are telling him about what's going on in the economy out there. And right now we're talking about, and by the way, if you just tuned in, the numbers ticked up just a little bit in May over the previous month, Bill, you were telling us, and we're talking about the labor market and the fact that we've got full employment, as you were saying earlier. The last time we had this, the reason that I feel pretty solid about the economy, Bill, the last time we had full employment was 1999, and you and I both know many of those jobs were fictitious jobs. They weren't jobs that anybody really should have ever have created, because they were working for companies that had no basis for being in business. We now know that it was the dot-com bust. But
right.
now in 2007, these jobs are valid jobs. These are real jobs, and so we're back to full employment. That's a pretty darn strong foundation, Bill. And were you the one who told us that there may be as many as 2 million jobs in America going unfilled?
Well, that would be about the right number if you looked at the percentages of people who are, you know, of our firms who are looking for jobs and can't fill them. It would be somewhere in that range. It's a big number.
It is, and
yeah.
Somebody else told me they thought that number was going to grow.
Yeah, so we have a lot of. I mean, you know, even as bad as the first quarter is supposed to be, and looking at our May numbers, we still had one out of four firms telling us they had at least one job opening they couldn't fill, and over half of our members were out trying to hire, or they hired somebody, and nearly 80% said few or no qualified applicants for the positions they had. So
isn't that the new...
If we could hire these people, we could make more stuff. You know, GDP
right.
would grow faster. Right.
Isn't that the new number one concern for small business owners, not being able to find the right people?
Well, certainly right up there. We always complain about taxes, and, of course, the tax talk has really escalated, so our owners are becoming a little worried about that.
Because of what the folks in Congress are talking about now.
Right. The tax talk is not sounding good, and so you know that's starting to worry them. So most of them are, we give them a bunch of things to vote on. What's your most important problem? And of course, the taxes are up there, and the cost of health insurance. But the amazing thing is that you got double-digit numbers telling you that forget energy, forget taxes. Finding qualified workers, that's my number one problem. And that means you have a very tight labor market.
Well, and the thing is that's really, there's really no solution in sight for that, is there?
No, there are two ways to solve that problem. One is to slow the economy down a lot, the private sector, forget government for the moment. And we don't want to do that, because that would be the recession talk, and we're not going to have mm-hmm. one of those. And so other than that, you either import workers, which we do, or you just wait it out until more kids graduate and Hopefully they can speak English and add 2 plus 2. That's the way you do it.
Well, we do have a pretty significant generation coming along that's going to be coming into the job market any year now, don't we?
Yeah, there's a fairly good shot. Of course, this is going to be rolling. It's kind of like those waves on the beach. One comes in, and then you get the undertow going back out. You also, you know, start to see people who are leaving because the front edge of the baby boom is now, I think, over 60, and people mm-hmm. are going to retire.
Right. Exactly. Bill, what about inflation? Is inflation something that's something that the Fed's worried about right now, isn't it?
Well, the Fed always worries about it. It's their number one concern, really, and it's about and that's good. It's their job. That's the only thing they can really have an impact on. And the headline inflation is terrible. It was 7 or 8% in the last report at an annual rate, and that was mostly due to energy and food prices. Part of the food price problem is the government's insane mandate on ethanol. So their food prices are really rolling along at a very healthy clip. If you take energy and food out, you're down around the high end of the Fed's range. But the Fed can pat itself on the back and say, hey, core inflation is only 2, but for how many years we've been paying 5
exactly.
or 4, I mean, the headline begins to matter at some point.
Yeah, well, especially when gasoline prices are $3 a gallon and not much in sight. At some point in time, we're going to have to dial $3 a gallon gasoline into our numbers, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we're already there, and there's really no. If you look at the world growth, I mean, we're growing only 1% or 2%, say, but the world pretty clearly is growing around 5. So that means their demand for oil and oil products is going to continue to grow, and it just takes too many years for us to either find new oil. We've got some really major finds, but it takes 2 or 3 years before the first oil comes out of those finds, and of course it takes years and years to develop alternatives as well. So it's going to be tight for a lot of years right now. Energy is a good place to invest if you want to invest.
You know, Bill, we were just in Copenhagen, as my audience knows, and as I mentioned to you earlier off the air, gasoline in Copenhagen in Denmark is about $8 a gallon.
Right. And it's been there for a long time.
But they ride a lot of bicycles over there.
Exactly. And we would too,
Thousands, tens of thousands of bicycles.
Right. We built our economy on cheap gas. So everybody lives 30 miles from work and drives back and forth every day.
Exactly. Stand by, Bill. We've got more to come with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg right after these messages. When we come back, I'm going to ask Bill what he thinks the Fed's going to do when they meet next week. 10 Till, stay with us.
There is a season turn, and time to
back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and the articles, and you can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. You can take fair use possession of our interviews if you want to podcast them and burn them onto a CD, take them with you anywhere. You can do that at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, askjim.biz is our knowledge base, the world's only knowledge base for small business. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. William Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB and one of our longtime Brain Trust members. And, Bill, you have a website as well, don't you?
Sure do, smallbizbus, smallbus.org.
And that's where you can find this report. You can also find it on my homepage and also at NFIB.com. Check either one of those out. Bill, what do you think? The Fed's meeting next week for 2 days, on Wednesday and Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
They're long meetings.
Yeah, two-day meeting. And they'll make a decision on interest rates next Thursday. What do you think they'll do?
Nothing.
Okay.
Problem that they've been facing all along. The economy is weak, and I think they don't believe the 0.6% either. They'll look at the details of the number, and they'll see the economy is not a 0.6% economy. It's better than that, but they'll see it's not rolling ahead, you know, at high speed either. On the other hand, they'll look at the inflation number and say, well, you know, we got a lot of problems here. The core may be down a teeny bit, but the headline is terrible, and so therefore, you know, we can't cut rates to help the economy because that'll hurt inflation, and we can't raise rates to fight inflation because that will slow the economy, and it's kind of wobbly, so we'll do nothing.
Isn't the global economy picking up a little bit?
Well, it's growing much faster than the U.S. right now, as far as.
And isn't that a good thing for us?
Well, certainly, because our exports are really rising very smartly. That is, when they grow faster, they buy more stuff from us, and so exports are doing well. And imports here are down because we aren't spending as much money if you take out the energy part, which
right.
is, of course, very expensive. So, you know, it's all working like it's supposed to, and the dollar is weakening.
But with a weak dollar, doesn't that bode well for our overall economy?
Well, you know, it makes it expensive to go on vacations in Tuscany, but it's great for our manufacturing firms and great
right.
for our agricultural firms.
And for our jobs.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Bill, you've got small business owners sitting at your knee right now, and they're wondering what they should be doing. What plans should they be making for the rest of the year for their small businesses? What would you tell them?
Well, I think that the rest of the year is going to be steady growth. We'll put the sixth year in the expansion into the bag, and we'll be looking forward to starting the seventh. So it'll be a solid year. You know, interest rates, I think, are going to be rising, so you know, you might want to think about your credit needs and see if you need to make some changes on that side of the equation. But credit's widely available. We're having no trouble. It's just a little more expensive than it used to be a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, optimism is up a little bit. Keep trying to hire. Of course, we'll keep trying to fill those positions. And don't give up. Keep looking. You know, you may get lucky.
But you think a year from now we're still going to be paying $3 a gallon for gas?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Is it going to go higher?
Only if there's some kind of a disruption in supply. We could have one of those hurricane effects. We could have a Middle East problem. Something that would cause it to go. We're straining capacity. We're using every bit of capacity we can get, not just in the U.S., but worldwide to make fuel and other oil products. So just a small disturbance in that case.
Like when Iran takes 12 British sailors prisoner.
Exactly, exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Small disturbances can cause the prices to spike, but then they'll fall back. But I think $3 is we better expect that for a while on average.
Right, because there's really no relief on the capacity side coming up, is there?
No, it isn't. Now, we've added a fair amount of capacity in the U.S. by just improving the existing refineries, but we haven't built any new refineries mm-hmm. since 1976. So we import a lot of gas. Iran has the same problem. You know, it has a lot of oil,
yeah.
but it imports its gas because it has no refineries.
Mm-hmm.
They should be making refineries instead of nuclear bombs.
Exactly. Yeah, they could be helping everybody if they would pay more attention to that.
Yeah.
Bill, give us your website again, please.
SMALLBUS.org, smallbiz.org.
And also, of course, NFIB.com.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
NFIB folks that Bill also represents. And, Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Dr. Alrighty. William Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen. He's a great American and one of the smartest guys I know. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.